Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachadane Narakashesha Shindivari Pashtatare Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sudhvedi Adhanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8, Chapter 2, Verse 33. Ya kaschane sho balinon ta korugat prachanda vega abhidhavato vasham vitam prapannam paripati yad bhayan chu pradavat aranam tapi maha
He who Kaschana, someone, Isha, supreme controller, Balina, very powerful, Antaka Uruga, from the great serpent of time, Prachanda Vegat, whose force is fearful, Abhidavata, who is chasing, Abhrisham, endlessly, Vita, one who is afraid of death, Prapannam, who is surrendered, Paripati, he protects, Yadvaya, from fear of death, Mrityu, death itself, Pradavati, runs away, Aranam, actual shelter, Tam, unto him, Imahi, I surrender. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful and forest, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him. If one who appears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him protection. For even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrendered unto him the great and powerful supreme authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. But one who's intelligent understands that there is a great and supreme authority above everything. That great authority appears in different incarnations to save the innocent from disturbances. The Lord appears in his various incarnations for two purposes: to annihilate the duskriti, or sinful, and to protect his devotees. The king of the elephants decided to surrender unto him. This is intelligent. One must know that that great supreme personality of God didn't surrender unto him. The Lord comes personally to instruct us how to be happy, and only fools and rascals do not see by intelligence the supreme authority of the supreme person. In the Sruti Mantra it is said, Vishasma Vata Pavate Bijodeti Suryaha. Bijnasma Agnis Chandras Cha Mritur Davati Panchamaha. It is out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the wind is blowing and the sun is distributing heat and light, that death is chasing everyone. Thus, there is a supreme control as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. This material manifestation is working so well because of the Supreme Controller. Any intelligent person therefore can understand that there is a Supreme Controller. Furthermore, the Supreme Controller himself appears as Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as Lord Ramchandra to give us instructions and to show us by example how to surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet those who are duskriti, the lowest of men, do not surrender. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, Mrityu Sarva Paras Chaham, I am all-devouring death. Thus, Mrityu, or death, is the representative who takes everything away from the living entity who has accepted a material body. No one can say, I do not fear death. This is a false proposition. Everyone fears death. However, one who takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of God can be saved from death. One may argue, does the devotee not die? The answer is that a devotee certainly must give up his body, for the body is material. The difference is, however, that for one who surrenders to Krishna fully, and who is protected by Krishna, the present body is his last. He will not again receive a material body to be subjected to death. This is assured in Bhagavad Gita. Tyaktva deham punarjamanaki mam eti sorjuna. A devotee, after giving up his body, does not accept a material body, but returns home back to Godhead. We are always in danger because, at any moment, death can take place. It is not that only Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was afraid of death. Everyone should fear death because everyone is caught by the crocodile of eternal time and may die at any moment. The best course, therefore, is to seek shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be saved from the struggle for existence in this material world in which one repeatedly takes birth and dies. To reach this understanding is the ultimate goal of life. Thus end the Bhagavad-gita purports of 8th canto, 2nd chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. Translation: the Supreme Personality of God is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful by forest, endlessly chases everyone ready to swallow him, if one fears this serpent, one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him protection, for even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him the great and powerful supreme authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. So, this is a continuation of this idea about who can save a person. And the reason this is stated is because Gajendra was caught by the crocodile and was about to die. So, therefore, he surrendered to the Lord. This verse explains how the Lord can save a person from death or from fear. So both of these are mentioned here. It's mentioned how Gajendra is a fearful person, and that death approaches everybody very, very strongly and swiftly, etc. So in spite of that, the Lord is more powerful. And though everyone runs away from death, death runs away from the Lord. This is the glorification of the Supreme Lord, because if he is more powerful than death, he can, and fear, etc., he can save a person from fear and death. Therefore, one should surrender unto the Lord, and he will protect you from death. So that is the logic here. So as we know, this is not a pure reason for surrender to the Lord. We surrender to the Lord because he's all-powerful and he can free you from death. So there is a motive there. I want to be free from fear and death. So on one level, this is quite low. It is the arti, one who is suffering in the material world, prays for relief from his suffering. Or the other is he fears death and he wants freedom from death. On the higher level, this could be the desire to have permanent freedom from death, that is, liberation. So we have karma misra bhakti, freedom from material suffering, and gyan misra bhakti, desire for liberation, permanent freedom from death. So both of these are impure bhakti, not pure bhakti. Nevertheless, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, I accept all of these types of devotees. They're my devotees. So they are superior to jnanis and karmis and yogis because they at least surrender unto the Lord, even though it is done with a mixture. Whereas the jnanis and karmis and yogis don't surrender unto the Lord. Or whatever surrender is there is very minimal. They may recognize the Lord, but nevertheless they want other things. So they may practice karma yoga. They may also worship Vishnu a little bit in there to fulfill their desires. But it is a minor factor. So in this scenario here where we have the Gajendra and others, yes, they do have a desire for freedom from suffering, etc. But their main element is surrender to the Lord. And this other part is secondary. And they're not doing other processes to get freedom from suffering, etc. They're simply surrendering unto the Lord. So this becomes, bhakti becomes a major portion of their activity, not a minor portion. So therefore, it's included within bhakti. Even though we can say the karma yoga or the gyan yoga, they may also worship the Lord, but we don't call that bhakti because it is all very minor. So here, because it is a major portion, then we say it is bhakti. But because there is this mixture, the motivation is, the cause of that is material, in this case, we call karma misra bhakti. And when there's a desire for liberation, then we call gyan misra bhakti. So it is superior to these other processes, but it is inferior to pure bhakti. So because it is superior to the other processes, it gives better results. So therefore, Krishna says, yes, I accept all these people. They're very good. And I don't care for the jnanis and karmis and yogis, but I care for the devotee. So the Krishna cares more for this devotee than he cares for the jnanis and karmis and yogis. But later in Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna says, of all the people, the one who just surrenders unto me with no desires, he is better than these. So, therefore, these are devotees, and they're better than the jnanis and the karmis and yogis, but The one who practices pure bhakti, he is better still. So that is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and nectar devotion. So the nectar devotion starts at that point of pure bhakti. And people are doing sadhana bhakti with pure bhakti. They're not praying for deliverance from suffering, etc. How did they get to that position? Maybe in previous lifetime they did pure bhakti. Maybe in previous lifetime they got a gat of Sukritis from devotees who were practicing pure bhakti. Or maybe they were doing mixed bhakti previously and they got association with devotees who were practicing pure bhakti. So now they practice pure bhakti. Nevertheless, somehow or other, if one is practicing bhakti, one should come to the stage of pure bhakti. And we get better results. So those who practice mixed bhakti get better results than the karmis and the gyanis and yogis. And the karmis get what result? Material elevation. So the karma Mr. Bhakti gets much better than that. What do the gyanis and yogis get? Mukti, liberation. The jnana yogi must get more than that. Or the jnana Mr. Bhakta must get more than that. And even the karma Mr. Bhakta must get more than liberation. But they get less than those who practice pure bhakti. So then what happens to them? They get better than liberation, but less than devotees. So where do they go? They can't go to the Brahman. They can't go to Svargaloka. They can't go to Vaikuntha. Where do they go? In between someplace. So it is said that even these mixed devotees, they can go to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha or wherever. But they do not get the same position as those who practice pure bhakti. That's all. So that means that they do not develop prema like the other devotees develop prema. They, what we can call, have prema, but it is very weak. Yeah? So they may have shanta rasa or something like that. Yeah? So what is the result from them? They get sarupya, salokya, very happy. Yeah? Because they had karma, Mr. Bhakti. They wanted happiness, they get happiness. But the relationship with the Lord is weaker because of that. And again, Mr. Bhaktas, they want peace, they get peace, they get Shantarasa. Very peaceful in the spiritual world. What's wrong with Shantarasa? Nothing, because it's related to the Lord. The Kumaras have Shantarasa. And so it's described when they smell the fragrance from the lotus feet of Vishnu, which had been mixed with the tulsi manjaris, they develop satika bhavas, ecstasies. So they respect the Lord and they appreciate the Lord and they even have some ecstatic symptoms of joy, etc. Nevertheless, the relationship is quite distant. And their appreciation of the Lord is in terms of, has it got a mixture of jnana in it? They want peaceful relationship with the Lord. So does that imply that the Sakya Rasa or Dasya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa or Madhurya Rasa is not peaceful? In one sense, yes. Because we see that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, all the devotees faint and cry and almost die. It's not very peaceful. What happens to the Shanta Bhaktas? They're always peaceful. Yes, the Lord is inside the heart anyway, so it doesn't matter. But Mother Yasoda, she almost dies when Krishna leaves. So it's not peaceful. Of course, this is not material distress also. It is spiritual. But in prema, there is what we call this variation in the sentiments. In Shantarasa, very, very peaceful all the time. How can they be peaceful all the time? They are very distant from the Supreme Lord and they appreciate him in a very calm way. So therefore, when Krishna came into the arena of Kamsa with Balaram after killing the elephant, they had an elephant tusk on their shoulder, and they came in the arena. Then Vasudeva Navaki and Nandamaraj says, oh, he's such a little boy and he has to fight with these big wrestlers. He's so weak. And they spell pity for him, compassion. And it's an aspect of Vatsalya Rasa. And, of course, the Rishnis, they saw him as Supreme Lord with reverence and Dasya Rasa. And the cowherd boys, they said, oh yes, he's killed the elephant because we know he kills demons. So they were joking with him in Sakya Rasa. And of course, people that come to saw him as death personified and were afraid of him. And there were some people there, yogis. They saw him very peacefully. He is the Brahman. He is Brahman who has actually got a form as Krishna. So yes, they saw him as Krishna, the small boy, but then they would appreciate him more as Brahman. Huh? That he's a very peaceful entity. That's all. So they did not see him in other with other sentiments. So, in this way, those who have Shantarasa, they see him quite differently from the others. So though it is rasa, because it's a relationship with the Lord, and there are ecstatic symptoms, like to see with the Kumaras, it is the lowest rasa. And therefore, not very, it's not preferred by the devotees, because it is quite distant. So in that relationship, there is no aspiration for personal service to the Lord. We just, and when the Lord comes and we see him, then we admire his great peace, that's all. So they're not aspiring for service to the Lord at all times, etc., like the other devotees. So it is rather inactive, even though it is a relationship which recognizes the Lord. So, therefore, as a rasa, it is put at the very bottom. The most interesting thing is that in the material world, as far as rasas are concerned, material rasas, Shantarasa gets put at the top. We have Bharat Muni, who is a one who writes all these scriptures on drama, but it's material drama. So in material drama, we have persons, actors, depicting great kings and heroes and demons and things like this, lovers, etc., material dramas. So how is the drama created? Because of relationships between the persons and how these relationships get interrupted or how they express their relationships. So with enemies, then they develop hatred and they fight with each other. So we get, you know, Krodha Rasa. This is anger. And we get Virya Rasa, the fighting mood. And then they have love relationships. So we get Madhurya Rasa, etc. So in this way, we have material rasas taking place in Bharat Muni's system. In that hierarchy, of course, the prominence is given to the secondary rasas because that creates excitement in the drama. So fear, anger, bravery, humor, all these things are typical in dramas. Yeah? If it's all very shanta, then nothing happens, people get bored. So they like these things. So they become quite prominent. And the primary rasas become secondary to all the active things like these negative elements. And we notice that in modern dramas also. So, of course, in this theory, their theory, then we have prominence of secondary rasas and less importance of the primary rasas. In terms of the primary rasas, the hierarchy is also opposite. We get Madhurya Rasa at the bottom. And we get Shanta Rasa at the top. So the ultimate aim of the drama, after everything is over, is to create peace. They have fighting and this and that and whatever. And then the final experience of the person who experiences drama is he should be very peaceful at the end of the drama. He should not come out having anger and hatred and all these things. It should all be finished and resolved, and he should reach a higher level of peace, like Brahman realization or something. So that relationship of Shanta is considered the highest relationship, and all these other ones are considered inferior, but causing disturbance. But in the spiritual world, opposite. That's at the very bottom. And the ones that create more disturbance go are higher. So, therefore, the mixed type of devotion will give us weak relationships with the Lord and the superior in the spiritual world, in some sort of shanta rasa. So, not considered the best in terms of rasa. So this is why the mixed devotees, mixed bhaktas, get such a thing, which is superior to Brahman, superior to Brahmaloka, but inferior to what the devotees get. So the devotees get the other rasas, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. Of course, if we don't choose Krishna, then there's no options, it's only dasya rasa. But nevertheless, there is a direct relationship of service to the Supreme Lord. And the rasa is higher, consequently, the bliss is higher. So the satisfaction of the jiva is more. And of course, if we go up and up and up, the bliss is more and more. So this is reserved for the people who practice pure bhakti. They can get dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. So, therefore, this when we have this mixed bhakti, we have to, if we want to get to a higher stage, then we have, that is pure bhakti, then we have to get a proper association and give up these material motives, etc. Yeah, so that is the position of the nectar devotion. It starts with pure bhakti. So if you had mixed bhakti, then when you start reading nectar devotion, then you have to start practicing pure bhakti to get rasa, which is the goal of Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. So, therefore, this type of motive in Gajendra is not the highest motive, it's acceptable. And to show that it is acceptable, we see that the Lord appeared. And he rescued the elephant, even though it was impure bhakti. The Lord actually appeared before him. So one can get very great results even from impure bhakti. We see in the case of Dhruva, he desired the kingdom, Arta Arti. He's an Arta Arti, desiring wealth. Lord appeared before him also. So of course we see that when the Lord appeared, Dhruva developed pure bhakti. And we see in this case also, even though his initial motive was not pure, he also later developed purity. So it is possible to go from mixed to pure bhakti. Of course, this was in the presence of the Lord here, so that's very good. So most times, of course, we don't get the personal presence of the Lord after we do mixed bhakti. But we do get the opportunity to associate with devotees practicing pure bhakti. And therefore, we can change to pure bhakti and through that develop to the higher rasas. So therefore, though this is not the highest type of bhakti, still, Gajendra gets praised because the result is still higher than anything attained by the other processes, karma yoga, jnana yoga, or ashtanga yoga. Yeah, so Draupadi is a special case. She's actually a Nitya Siddha already. So when she prays to Krishna, this is an example of characteristics of surrender, sharanam, or sharanapatti. So there's six qualities there of surrender, such as accepting what is favorable, rejecting what is unfavorable, and one of them is to accept the Lord as one's protector. Yeah? So naturally the devotees take the Lord as a protector at all times, and they don't surrender to anybody else. He is my shelter. So we see in the Krishna Lila, the when Nanda gets taken by the snake, the Varuna's people, or by the snake or whatever. Everyone calls out, Krishna, Krishna, protect us or whatever like this. Or when the forest fire comes, Krishna, Krishna, they cry out to Krishna. So is this impure bhakti or not? Of course, it's explained there, they're calling out to Krishna because they fear that they will be separated from him. That's all. They're not fearful of death or anything like that. Simply separation from the Lord. But they're calling out to Krishna, please save the situation or whatever. Therefore, the symptom of the devotee is to always seek protection from Krishna in all circumstances. Of course, these are nitya siddhas. As in the case of the sadhakas, it is permissible also to pray for the protection of the Lord. However, it is not a constant prayer. If we're constantly praying for this, it'll become like this, mixed bhakti. So it is occasional in certain circumstances, like accidents or other things, then it is permissible, and that does not detract from the bhakti of the person. So therefore, that is the explanation given in the word Anya Abhilashta Sunya. It doesn't say Anya Abhilasa Sunya, devoid of any desires. It says generally devoid of other desires. So that means sometimes you can have desire. So if you desire protection sometimes, then it's permitted. And it's still within pure bhakti. He can also come directly, but usually this is an expression of the devotee's sentiments. Huh? Whether you call or not, the Lord, in any case, protects the devotee. Yeah? But, as I say, the devotee's sentiment is that he feels he is under the protection of the Lord. So that's why he calls out. Well, I suppose because it is a story of being saved by the Supreme Lord or whatever. Yeah? But is that a tradition in South India or what? North India? Oh, I see. I guess because the Lord saves you reciting Gajendra's prayers, then the Lord comes and saves you from your position, whatever. And the follow them, they say that by reciting this, that, you know, at the time of death, then you're protected from all fears or whatever like that. But there's many stories also in the Bhagavatam, even in the 10th canto. You recite this story, then you're free from, like, the forest fire story. You recite this, and then you're free from death also. So even with the Krishna pastimes, there's many stories like that. In most cases, yes. In some cases, they terrify the residents also. But in many cases, they just directly attack Krishna. I think it was Denukasura or something, or one of them was... No, Keshi Demon. He was going all over the place causing problems. But normally, they're trying to attack Krishna directly, so they're not involved. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is possible, but generally they get fixed in that relationship. It's possible, but generally because of that constant sadhana in that direction, then they get their fulfillment there, and then they don't desire anything else. It's possible. No sadhana, no. Yeah. But there is the possibility of change, having any form you want, as that's described in the Brahma Sutras. You have satyakama ability, so whatever you desire, you can get. So you can, if you want to be a tree, you can be a tree. You want to be a bird, you can be a bird. If you want to be a cowherd boy, you can be a cowherd boy, like this. So, and if you don't want any form, you can just exist like kind of in a vacant state and just observe everything or whatever like that. But generally, because we do sadhana and we aspire in a certain direction, then we get a particular form and serve Krishna in that particular thing. So that is particularly true for the development of rasa. You desire a certain relationship and you cultivate that for many births, and then you get it and you're completely satisfied with it. So you don't want to change. Because he had to develop prema. He only had bhava. In a deer body, he couldn't practice much. Yeah, but he wasn't practicing, and he was simply, he avoided everybody, and he remembered his mistake, etc. So he didn't do much sadhana in that lifetime. He wasn't capable as a deer. But the results of his previous bhava were there, and the next lifetime then he practiced and he got prema. Yeah. So special case of mercy. Just like Putin, I guess, Lord and goes to the spiritual world in case of mercy also. But of course there's a higher mercy because he's actually a devotee. But the usual case is the devotee has to go through sadhana, through all the processes, the bhava and the prema. So that's the example of Bharat. He's taking the gradual process up to prema as a normal human being. In the case of Dhruva or of Gajendra, it's a little different because they directly get the Lord when they're doing their sadhana, before they're actually completely purified even.
Tantra,